For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Monday evening, December the 31st, 1979, New Year's Eve. This is tape 3 of 3 tapes of the New Year's Eve service. Lee Ellenwood is teaching on the Day of the Lord. And this is concluded with Brother David Bunch of Van Nuys, California, serving communion to the congregation.
Those of you who haven't been here in the mornings, you have missed a wonderful, wonderful explanation of the appearing of the Lord Jesus. And Brother Ellenwood has given us a new insight and understanding of scriptures that we have had no past understanding of, really. They were kind of clouded over. But he's been taking the veil off of it. He's been pulling some of the lattice work down, as he said. He's been taking it down for us. Maybe he's still looking at it through lattice work, but he's sure taking a lot of lattice work down for us. Amen.
Well, I want to say that I've got a lot of lattice left, too. Just a lot of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to just express my gratitude to all of you. I've just enjoyed your fellowship so much, and I want to thank Glenn and Irma for their hospitality and for inviting me out here. And I just love these folk very much. We're going to have prayer for them after a while. Brother Bunch is going to kind of have a little ceremony here or something, and we're going to bless them. I don't know just when, whether it's after midnight or before, but somewhere along the line here. And a new day. Okay. And I want to thank Brother and Sister Lannan for their wonderful hospitality. I've just enjoyed their home. It's a home where there's peace, praise the Lord, and health foods. And I've just enjoyed their health foods. We're both kind of along the same line there. So it's just been real good. See how healthy we have both looked? All right. That's because we don't eat white bread and things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to talk very long tonight. My messages are really very short. It's always the preliminaries to my messages that are long. But my messages themselves are short. It takes a little while to work up to the message. But I just want to leave something with you. Let me see. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll read a few verses there. Now, in the 5th chapter, in the 4th chapter, of course, we have the coming of the Lord, and verses 13 to 17, the changing of some people. They're going to come into a redeemed body. And then beginning with verse 17, we have the catching up, a period of time in between, the change and the catching up. And then when we come to the 5th chapter, Paul says here, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, in terms of the book of Revelation, the day of the Lord begins in chapter 1. It says so. John was projected by the Spirit into the day of the Lord. And so the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord begins with a sunrise. It begins with the coming of the Lord. All right, it's a new day. And so it says in verse 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." See, already in the church, there was being made manifest a division. There are the ones that are called we, or ye. And then in verse 3, there are those in the church that Paul refers to as they. They. And what were they saying? See, this verse is often applied to down to our day in this sense, and people say, well, someday somebody's going to stay over there in the unholy land, you know, peace and safety. There's going to be some kind of a peace settlement. It's not talking about that at all. It's talking about an attitude within the body of Christ's church. And we have a similar construction over in Jeremiah 6:14 and in Jeremiah 8:11. And these were Hebrew people that were saying peace and safety in their day. It wasn't the Edomites or the Syrians, but it was the apostate people within Israel. All right, so we have many in the Spirit-baptized, the Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel realm that are saying everything's all right, peace and safety. We just finished a new building. It cost $3 or $4 million, but it'll probably stand for 1,000 years. Everything's taken care of. The money's flowing in. We've got our good investments. We've been investing in stocks and bonds and apartment houses and hotels. And I would really astonish you if I could tell you some of the things that I know, but I'm on tape here, and I have to restrain myself sometimes when I know the tapes are going over the country. Everything's good. We have a pension program for our ministers, and they'll retire. When they retire, they'll be taken care of. Everything is just fine. Oh, yeah, we know the Lord is coming someday. But don't worry about it. Everything is just coming along fine. So Paul says that when they say this, then sudden destruction is coming upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This word destruction here could be translated ruin. Sudden ruin is going to come upon them. That's upon this church system that man has erected to embrace the body of Christ's church and to dominate it. And sudden ruin is going to come to this system. And we told you a little bit about it this morning, wasn't it? Or this afternoon? And how the wind, the hurricane was going to blow through the holy place. And God is going to cleanse that holy place. Sudden destruction is coming upon everything that man has brought into the holy place. And then he says, but ye brethren, see, two sections in the Spirit-baptized church. Already apostasy was developing. The apostasy began in Acts, the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse. And now it's coming to its fullness. All down through the years, two things have been working together. The holy thing of God and the unholy thing of Satan. The satanic thing seeking to destroy the godly thing. All right, so even in Paul's day, that apostasy was working. And so he says, ye are all the children of light. Not the they people, but the others. And we are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us, what? Watch and be sober. Now, I keep telling you this, that there is no place in the New Testament where we are told that there's going to be a warning signal before the coming of the Lord. That's why we are told to watch. All right, let's turn over to Hebrews and remember that this is the book that is especially written for the benefit of those that are going to go through the veil. And so in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, a very familiar verse, so Christ, the 28th verse, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Notice the wording. This is talking about those that are going to go through the veil. It's a warning to them. Unto them that look for him. Other translations give it, eagerly expect him. Anticipate him. Words along those lines. Unto those that look for him shall he appear. And I keep telling people, it is not enough to have the doctrine of the second coming, but we have to come into a new kind of lifestyle if we're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And looking for the coming of the Lord is going to be a part of our daily relationship with God. It is not the knowledge of the coming of the Lord up here. It is the hope of the coming of the Lord in the heart that is going to prepare us for His coming. Notice the difference. Now, most Pentecostal churches are quite orthodox in many ways. And somewhere along the line in their statement of faith, there will be a little bit in there that they believe in the coming of the Lord. But it's not enough to have it in your statement of faith. We have to be looking for the Lord daily, constantly. And I tell folk that when we wake up in the morning, our first thought would be, well, Jesus, maybe you're coming today. And during the day when we're working, from time to time, this will be in our heart. We'll look up and we'll say, Jesus, maybe you're coming today. I've got to go grocery shopping, but you may be here before I get down to the store. When we go to bed at night, we should look up and say, Lord, maybe you're coming tonight. Two will be in a bed. One will be taken and the other left. Maybe you're coming tonight. Lord, be sure and wake me up because I don't want to miss it. Even the Father doesn't want to miss it. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians it says that God is coming back with Jesus in this second coming. It's such a great event. He doesn't want to miss it. All right. Praise the Lord. So many wonderful things about the coming of the Lord. Brother Bunch read a little bit from the Sermon on the Mount. From the 24th chapter of Matthew. And from that same context, I want to just read another little thing here. This is found in Mark. And here Jesus says, but, let's see, you want the verse, don't you? Chapter 13 and verse 32. And so here Jesus says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, T.J. McCrossan, in his book on, the Bible, His Cross and Modernism, something like that, brings out the thought that in the Greek it has the idea that Jesus at that time didn't know, not yet the Son of Man. I haven't checked this out. But it's quite possible that Jesus does know now the hour of His coming. All right. So in the 33rd verse, He says, take ye heed, watch, and pray. For ye know not when the time is. I wonder if I've ever given you that little story here about the watching the wrong clock. Did I give that here? Huh? Oh, okay. Up in Idaho, there's a brother up there, and God often speaks to him through dreams. Now remember, we don't form doctrines from dreams. Dreams may be given unto us to corroborate or substantiate or to encourage and so on, but doctrine is based on the Word of God. But he told us this dream, and it seemed that his family and he were getting ready to go somewhere, and according to the clock, he had three clocks in the house, two in the front and one in the back. And according to the clock in the front of the house, they had about an hour to get ready, just a little bit more than an hour. And so they're all scurrying around doing the last-minute things, you know, that people do before they leave the house. And then something seemed to prompt him to go and look at the clock in the back of the house. I think the Lord spoke to him in the dream and told him to go and look at the clock in the back of the house. So he went and looked at the clock in the back of the house, and according to that clock, he had only about 1 minute to get ready. And so he yelled at his family, and they scurried around, and that was kind of the end of the dream. But according to the clock in the back of the house, they had only about 1 minute to get ready to go over to where they were going. But the curious part of it, in the morning when he got up and went out and looked at the clocks, the two clocks in the front of the house had stopped, and only the clock in the back of the house was running. So maybe there was something to this. And I'm telling people, let's be careful that we don't look at the wrong clock. Because we have these people that say, the Lord can't come now. This has to happen, and that has to happen, and another thing has to happen. And I believe that many people are looking at the wrong clock, and when the Lord comes, they're going to miss it because they're not ready. And so, Jesus tells us that we are to watch. Because He says that we do not know when He's going to come. All right, and then in the 34th verse, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. And notice this, and this is what David was talking about here, to every man his work. We're not to clad ourselves in white garments and go up on a mountain somewhere to wait for this appearing, but we are to be occupied. We are to be occupied. But I tell people this, let's not get so occupied with the occupying that we forget what we're occupying for. All right, so he says, he commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. Don't rely upon an alarm system. Any alarm system that men are setting up in these days, don't rely on that. We have to watch for him because he is coming unannounced, unexpectedly. So Paul says back there that we are not to sleep as do others. This all ties in. You see, we could be good Pentecostal charismatic people. Some people don't like to be called Pentecostal, so they call themselves charismatic, and that's all right. And we can be talking in tongues, and we could miss the coming of the Lord if we weren't looking for him. I go to some churches, you know, and they say, well, Brother Ellenwood, we really worship God here. We dance in the Spirit, you know. So I ask them, are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Well, no, we hadn't thought about that. You know what I tell them? You're dancing in your sleep. That's true. A lot of people are dancing in their sleep. They're ministering in their sleep. They're prophesying in their sleep. They're talking in tongues in their sleep. You could go on being Pentecostal and performing Pentecostal functions and miss the coming of the Lord if you do not have this added factor in your life of watching for the coming of the Lord. That's kind of solemn, isn't it? But I think it's in the Word of God. You could be working miracles and miss the coming of the Lord. You can be working for the Lord. In fact, the matter is, this actually happens because in Revelation 2 and 3, when God sends back the sons with this message to the churches, the lampstand churches that weren't ready for the coming of the Lord, the first thing he says to them, I know thy works. Too bad. Every one of them was working. The lampstand church of Ephesus, the lampstand churches, Smyrna, and on down the line, every one of them was working. One of them was even interested in restoration and were trying men that were saying they were apostles. But the Lord came and while they were trying to decide if this man was a true apostle or not, the Lord came and they were left behind because they weren't watching. Okay, now I'm through the preliminaries. That was fast, wasn't it? Now, there are two Greek words that are translated watch. And I just want to speak briefly on one of them. One of these words means to chase away sleep. Chase away sleep. See, this is supposed to be a watch night service, isn't it? So it's a good time to start in watching. Anybody sleepy yet? Okay. Chase away sleep. Now, some of you may have heard me give this before. But I like to give it because it makes it very graphic to us. Let's see, who shall I pick on? Who shall I pick on? All right, I think I'll pick on Brother Bunch over here and his wife. She's not here, so she can't turn me down. What's her first name? Evelyn? I didn't know that. Evelyn, all right. David and Evelyn. So, let's see, they live in Van Nuys. And they decide that they're going to go to a convention in San Diego. It's kind of late in the day by the time they get started. They've had a lot of things to do to get ready to go. Somebody to come in and feed the dog and somebody to take care of the canary and somebody to be sure and pay the paper boy on Thursday morning and somebody to put the garbage out. You know, a lot of things to do. So finally about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they have their things together, and they take off to go to San Diego. So Evelyn says to David, she says, well, don't you think it's kind of late in the day to drive to San Diego? Oh, no, I feel great. You know, he's feeling great these days. He really is. I can make it all right. So they go down the freeway, and, of course, you have to stay awake on the freeway. So they get down through Los Angeles, and And after a while, Evelyn looks over and David's going like this just a little bit. She gives him a poke in the ribs. Hey, David! You all right? Or are you awake? Oh, yeah. I was just kind of resting my eyes a second, you know. So, he's wide awake. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'll be able to drive to San Diego. So, they go on down a little ways, and after a while, you know, the same thing, you know. I guess maybe he'd been to a watch night service the night before, something. So, here he's head stuck in... And she gets she gives him another jab in the ribs, you know, wakes him up, and, you know, not, he hasn't really gone to sleep, but he was kind of sleepy there. Oh, I'm all right, I'm all right. And so they drive along for a while, kind of the same thing going on all the time. And so finally he said, well, I tell you what, now, I'm just telling a story here. He says, maybe we better pull off at the next off-ramp and go to a restaurant and I'll get a cup of coffee. Okay, that'll keep me awake. I won't have any problems. So they pull off, and they go into a restaurant, and he gets a cup of coffee, and I feel great now. Feel great. We'll be able to drive all the way down to San Diego now. I just feel wonderful, you know, just feel wonderful. So they go along about 2 miles. Ordinarily, coffee would keep him awake for 10 hours, you know, if he drank it before he went to bed. But funny thing now, about 2 miles, his head's going down. She gives him another jab in the ribs. And she says, you got to do something about that. Now, you see, you're getting sleepy. Oh, I'll make it all right. I'm all right. You know how men are, you know. I'm okay, you know. Muy macho and stuff like that. So, after a while, he says, say, I heard about something. Now, the little things I'm telling you are things that people have actually told me. And he said, I heard that if you'll eat a bacon and tomato sandwich when you're sleepy, that'll keep you awake. Okay, Evelyn says, anything. So they pull off and they go to a restaurant and they each get a bacon and tomato sandwich and two to go. Now, nobody's ever told me, you know, what there is in a bacon and tomato sandwich that'll keep you awake. I don't know whether it's the tomato or the bacon or maybe it's the combination, but somebody actually told me that. So, fine, well, this must work, you know. And so here they are, and they go on down, and by now they're down in Orange County somewhere, and he's feeling just great now. We're going to make the trip without any trouble. And so they go on down 3 or 4 miles, you know, she gets another jab in the ribs. Well, then he thinks of something else. He said, yeah, I remember one time somebody said that if you get sleepy while you're driving, pull off the freeway and run around the car about 10 or 12 times. So they do that. Yeah, praise the Lord, you know. Ah, that fixes me up good now, you know. My old heart's pumping away and the blood circulating all around and all those little pipes inside are filled up with good blood now. And I can make it down to San Diego, see? And so here he is going along and not long, same old thing. Well, he says, I don't know what's the matter with me. He says, Evelyn, maybe if you'd rub the back of my neck. Okay. So she reaches around and she rubs the back of his neck. You know. Oh, that feels good. That's hot right there, you know. So she massages his neck. Gives him a real workout, you know, down the backbone and up. And that fixes me up fine now, you know. Goes down a little further. Head begins to bob again. Well, he says, I tell you what, Evelyn. Maybe if you would sing to me, that would keep me awake. Okay, she says. So she begins to sing to him. No can melody in my... Hey! You're denting my eardrums here. Well, you wanted to keep awake, didn't you? So they go along, and after a while, you know. Then he says, say, I remember one time somebody told me that if you get sleepy, why, stick your head out the window and drive. So he rolls the window down, and he hangs one arm. I'm not advising this. I'm just telling a story. He hangs one arm and his shoulder and his head out the window, and goes down the freeway, you know. And that's pretty good, you know. That keeps him awake. But after all, how long can you drive with your head hanging out the window? So again, same old thing, you know. And then he thinks of something else. I learned this from a bus driver. He said, say, I heard that if you get sleepy, if you'll just get a wet towel and hold it in your hand and hold your hand out the window, that'll keep you awake. So they go into a service station and they get a couple towels and get them real sopping wet. So now he gets back in the car and he's driving down with this wet towel in his hand down the freeway, and it really works. I'm giving you folks that get sleepy when you drive some cues here now, you know. So they go on down the freeway, but after a while, you know, his arm gets tired and the paper dries out. So he pulls his arm in, and they go on down the freeway, and again, you know, same old thing, you know. They're down by San Clemente now. And he's just really having a time. Just having a time. And then he thinks of something else. Somebody told him one time when you get sleepy, when you're driving, just put one hand on top of your head. Get the idea? If you get sleepy, the hand will fall down and wake you up. So he tries that. Well, you know, what to do? What to do? How are you going to keep awake? And then he thinks of one more thing he heard. See, I've actually heard all these things. I when I drive on the bus, I ask the bus driver what he does to keep awake. So this is the crowning one. And he remembers that somebody told him that if you want to stay awake when you drive, get a $50 bill and put it between your fingers and hold your hand out the window. That'll keep you awake. So he says, Evelyn, have you got a $50 bill? Well, she says, sorry, but maybe, well, here's a 20. And they're down below Oceanside now, and he's just really battling this thing called sleep. And so he sticks his hand out the window, you know, with a $50 bill. And it does pretty good, you know, about the time he gets a little drowsy. You know, he thinks about that $20 bill, the $20 bill. And he thinks about that, you know, and that keeps him awake. But, you know, again, how long can you hold your arm out the window with a $50 bill in it, a $20 bill? All right, now what am I telling you tonight? This is what Jesus was saying. He said, if you want to be ready for my coming, you have got to chase away sleep. You've got to chase away sleep. See, if the devil cannot keep you from getting ready by defiling you or making you rebellious or discourage you, he has all kinds of ways to keep us from being ready for the coming of the Lord. All kinds of ways. If you have resisted all of these ways, he's got one thing left. He has a little aerosol can. And on the outside of the aerosol can, it says, sleep. And you've been a good saint. You haven't backslidden. You haven't gone to shows. And you haven't drunk beer. And, you know, you haven't gotten discouraged. And you haven't fought with the pastor too much. You know, you've kept yourself in such a way that ordinarily you'd be ready for the coming of the Lord. And so Satan says, well, I can't get him that way, but I've got one thing left. And so he gets out his aerosol can and he goes, and here's David. His head's going down like this. Here's my sister. Undefiled, obedient unto God, talks in tongues, prophesies, worship, dances. But he gets his sleep. Our sister from Texas. Got her asleep now. Where are you from? West Virginia. Got the West Virginian asleep. Got my host asleep. See? That is the ploy that he is going to use before the coming of the Lord. If he can't get these people any other way, he is going to put a spirit of drowsiness upon them. And that's why Jesus says, watch, chase away sleep. And from here on out, Glenn, all of us are going to have to fight sleep if we're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord.
And I believe that's a good time to begin tonight, to begin to believe in the imminency of the coming of the Lord. This was a good Pentecostal doctrine 50 years ago, and it is a forgotten doctrine. It's in the book. All Pentecostal people believe it. It's in the book, but it's not in here. Why? But I believe God is arousing a company of people, and they're going to fight sleep, and sleep is one of the hardest things to fight. You know that, don't you? You know that. If somebody tries to awaken you in the morning and you haven't had enough sleep, you treat that person as though he's an enemy. You hate him. You resist him. Go away. See? From here on out, you and I are going to have to watch, or in the Greek, we're going to have to fight sleep. We can be ever so religious or spiritual or anything else, knowledgeable, but to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we have to be awake. We have to be watching for Him, looking for Him. And everybody said, Maranatha. Hallelujah. You know, young David here used the word tonight, and he said, wow. And I like that. That's one of my praise words. I know it's not in the Bible, but it's one of my praise words. I ministered to a group up in Idaho, kind of a charismatic group. And there's a young woman there, young married woman, and she's just an inspiration. She always gets up on about the first or second seat, and she sits on the edge of her seat as though she was enjoying everything. And every once in a while, you know, when you say something, you know, fairly good anyhow, she'll say, wow! Hallelujah! How many of you'd like to say wow? Wow! I believe the Lord enjoys spontaneity. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, we think we have to be so decorous and say, well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you know, and pronounce it just right and everything. But I like it when people burst out and say, wow! All right, I don't know why I added that on. But the main thing is to chase away sleep. Chase away sleep. All right, Glenn. Oh, we're going to sing Maranatha, weren't we, too? After a while. Okay. I should put my coat on. Where's the coat? I forget where it is. Way over there, somebody wants to bring it. All these other fellows had their coats on when their pictures were taken. I bring a coat along so people know I've gotten one, but I never can minister with one on. All right, Maranatha. Praise the Lord. Where was the flash? I was waiting for a flash. All right. All right, let's all sing Maranatha then. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to all stand? Praise the Lord. You know, it's curious that out of all of the songs that are coming forth, there's hardly any songs on the second coming. This tells me something. And maybe God will lead some of you to write some songs on the second coming.
Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus.
Let's all turn around and make kind of little circles of about three, and just sing the song together that way. Little groups of about three, no more than four, maybe two. And let's look one another straight in the eye when we sing it. Straight in the eye. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Maranatha. My Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Wow. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We're going to have communion in a few minutes, Brother. David Bunch is going to speak to us again, and then we're going to have communion. All right. Do you want to say anything else before the
we need to know
before the 80s come in?
We need to know how many people have to go to a bus station or an airport tomorrow. Please see Brother Lanham.
Okay, Brother David, we'll turn this to you. You know, we're bringing in the new year. But the new year has already come in many, many hours ago over in the Philippines. We're almost two-thirds of a day into a new year over there. We'll bring a new year in here, and then there's a few more hours that it'll travel, and the new year will come there. God's not bound by these kind of times. We need to realize that this is not something that God's bound to. God is time is eternity with Him. There isn't time. And we're coming into that age, that dimension of time without time. Praise the name of the Lord. Is this yours, Lee? Okay.
8 is the number of new beginning, we said. Thank God for that. I think it's important that we learn to apply the precious blood to our lives day by day. The Word of God teaches us that the blood washes away our sins. We've put so much on the tabernacle. Let's take the tabernacle for a second and think concerning it. The blood was offered in the outer court, was taken all the way, every step of the way, clear to the mercy seat. And that blood is available for you, no matter, and is necessary for you, no matter where you think you are in the rung of the ladder, no matter where you've gone. And I think one of the things that comes to me so definitely is that the fruit of the vine that we take, that is that symbol of the blood, first thing it does when it touches your body is to touch your tongue. He that tames his own tongue controls his own whole body. Like the rudder of a ship. It's a very little member, but it can gender strife. It can pollute the whole body. And so as we take communion, not only do we want our sins forgiven, our bodies healed, which is all involved in this breaking of the bread and the taking of the fruit of the vine, but let us make a committal now, since it is New Year's, unto our God, to bridle our tongue, to speak as the oracles of God, to not undo that God has done in our lives because of wrong confession. Let us say to ourselves, I will stay awake, and we'll watch, not just in the new year, but all year long for the coming of my Lord. The blood started in the outer court, and all of the instruments, all the way into the Holy of Holies, were sprinkled, were touched by that blood. No matter where you are, no matter if the time has gone into the eons, you will still be there because you have abided in the Christ and because of the blood of Calvary. We have wondered whether there is another place in the universe. Man has thrown his probes out all over the universe trying to find out whether there's life. But contrary to all the reasoning of science and natural man, I'm here to tell you that the center of all the universe is a place called Calvary, where the God that created all heaven and earth gave his only begotten Son. And there can be nothing more important. That is the hub around which all evolves. And it is there that he shed his precious blood for you and for me. The time is right at hand. Gentlemen, would you bring the emblems and pass them out? I want you to bring them down front first, if you will. Bring them down front. For my Bible says he blessed it, and I usually have my deacon board sanctified. Wait a minute, son. My Father and my God, let these emblems of Calvary be a reality in our heart and in our lives as we commit unto thee. Let them be efficacious, Lord. Let them touch our inner soul. Let them help us to bridle and tame our tongue. Let it be a cleansing and a healing even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just pass it out and retain, everybody retain until we partake together? I'm doing this in a little awkward way because I want to try to get it as near as New Year's as I can. And so let me speak a little bit concerning this as they are passing these things out. These precious emblems that speak of Calvary. Now, it is the blood that carries away the impurities of your body. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that carries away the impurities of the church. And it is the blood that brings the strength and the nourishment to your body. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There is power in the blood. God has meant this to be a house cleaning. If you have taken communion in the proper way, as soon as you have finished, there should be no hurt feelings, because we've forgiven those that have hurt us. When we've taken it in the proper way, it has been a house cleaning in the house of God. And if we have not for this cause, many are sick and weakly among you, and many do sleep, because we have not judged ourselves. And I want us tonight, there are those that have been hurt. We've dealt with more broken hearts and more hurt feelings. But God insists that we forgive. And he specifically says, if you don't forgive, neither will I forgive. And I want us just to pause for a moment and think of those who have hurt us, the children that have failed us, the boss that has ridiculed us, the neighbors that have mocked us, the pastor that is not feeding as he should. Forgive those that have hurt you. Gentlemen, bring me some too, please. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Brother Glenn. Let me tell you, as I tell my congregation, I love you very much. As I tell them, thank you for the privilege of being your pastor. I say to you, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be here and to share with you and to rejoice with you over the Word of God. He took the bread and he blessed it. Our Father, sanctify it. Let there be healing, for with his stripes we're healed. And I speak healing. I speak to cancers. I speak to nervousness. I speak to tension. I speak to pressures of every kind. Leave. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name. He said, take ye, eat all of it. Oh, hallelujah. In the same manner also he took the cup. That cup that washes away the infirmities. That cup that washes away the impurities. That cup that brings nourishment and strength. The precious blood. And he gave thanks. And my Father. Oh, my Father, we thank you for such a great and wondrous gift. And Father, we do this in remembrance of thee. Cleanse, Lord. Wash away, wipe away the hurt feelings. And help us, Lord, to forgive. In Jesus' name. He said, take ye, drink all of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me now? Now, I think that you can hold that up without... Don't tip it over or you'll get what's left on you. But let's praise our Lord, shall we? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus, precious blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, he washes white as snow. And one more, Brother Lee, would you come to the piano, please? And there's a chorus that you taught us. I know that we know it here. And it's hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Minister unto Glenn and Irma Miller. Folks, they've seen a vision. They've been faithful to that vision. And I think we need to hold them up. I think every one of us need to put them upon our breastplate. If there's been nourishment to your soul, it's because this place exists. There's no way I would ever be in Hot Springs. There's no way that Lee would ever be in Hot Springs. But God has provided a place. And how appropriate. Amen. When the turn of the century and Pentecost started here, how appropriate that God's plan should bud out from this area. Amen? How appropriate that there should be a hiding place in this place. Brother Lee, come and let us lay hands upon them. Hallelujah. And set them apart for this coming year. Hallelujah. Come on, David. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hallelujah. I speak a crowning direction unto their lives, a flowing, O God, forth of your mighty power,
I rebuke and bind Amodius, the seven channels through which Satan would try to influence or hinder or cause misunderstanding or lead astray. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we sanctify them, Lord. We sanctify them, Lord. We sanctify them, Lord, under thy work and under thy counsel and under thy way. We break the yoke of finance. We break the yoke, O love of God. Through this, Lord, this channel way flow, speak to the people. Speak to hearts and souls, Lord. And let these things be accomplished, Lord, that are set before them. And not just these things, but many more. Great, Lord, is the calling. Great is the responsibility. And yea, Father, great is the strength that we speak unto them, that they may fulfill and they may do what you've called them to do. Even now, my Father, we send them forth in this outreach. We send them forth in this preparation. We send them forth, Lord, with a new baptism of love. A new compassion, Lord. A new determination, Lord. A new anointing, Lord. A new boldness, my Lord. A new authority, my God. A new dimension in thee. For I claim it and I speak it. For it is written, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. I Hallelujah. Speak it now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Praise
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's thank God for it. Glory be to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.